1, 2, 3, 4.
What would you talk about on your podcast?
5, 7, 8.
Hello,
ladies. 9, 10, 11.
Elvis Duran presents
12, 13, 14, 15.
The 15-minute morning show.
All right, which of us would actually work with our spouse? I don't think I could do it.
No. Oh.
This is a continuation of the topic from the big show.
I would say inappropriate things and get fired.
your spouse would call HR. You'd
right,
be in
yeah, be a problem.
I couldn't do it, not because nothing against him. I just need distance from everybody and some space from everybody. Like, Jim and Pam in the office seemed like misery to me. You work directly next to each other, then you go home, spend every second together. My God,
yeah.
Too much.
And then you hear about those couples that... You know, they live together, commute in together, work together.
No.
I'm like,
no.
Oh,
no.
God, I couldn't
no, yeah.
do it.
You do. You
think
have
how much
to have
they're saving.
Space.
Yeah. They're saving no. so much money.
Oh, I don't care. I'll spend money to get away from people sometimes.
Yeah. I think they're all going to die like 15 years early.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, basically, you've been, Danielle, for instance, like, you've basically been working with Sheldon since you've been at home, right? I
yeah.
mean, you guys are in the same house.
But we kind of stay out of each other's way. Like, he really has his little space upstairs and I'm down here. And then when I'm finished down here, I go 2 floors up. And then, like, you know, so it's like we space it out. But I keep telling him that one day when this is all said and done, I will be his manager. Because people are always asked, seriously.
I'm sure
people
he's
are
so
always,
excited for that.
He is. He is very excited. People are always asking him for advice in real estate and stuff. And I keep telling him, we could do seminars. There'd be a coaching thing you could do. But I said, why are you giving this away for free? Save it. I'll manage it and I'll book all your engagements. I'm like,
Tom?
We can do this. So, you know. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a special guest. Everybody,
we're
please.
We're recording out a 15-minute morning show podcast.
Oh, hey.
Chief of Police Tom Pullman.
What's up, Tom?
Hi, Tom.
I love he walks in
he
here.
Walks in what's up, guys?
Oh, we love Tom.
Yeah.
Tom's been here for how long?
1996.
Wow.
We're sitting in his office.
Sitting in my old office.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. The studio is in the grounds of his old office.
And back in those humble beginnings, we used to gather in Tom's office, and we used to sit on the floor, and he used to play the guitar for us, strum a little tune on a Friday or a Thursday. Yeah, I remember that.
How very hippie of all of you.
Immutable laws of marketing.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you play? What would Tom play? Would it be a
Third Eye Blind songs?
Third Eye
Blind. We should do Getting to Know You with Tom, where we all just ask him questions off of his last answer.
Do we want to do that?
Yeah.
Tom just wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you better leave now before we drag you in, Tom.
Okay, wait, but Tom, real quick, who's your favorite?
He's gone.
Like the Roadrunner, like there's the dust out of here.
Do you know that Tom is who gave me my first contract? So he took me into his office when he was making me like full time on air and stuff. And he gave me a contract and, you know, union had a certain number that you could have. And it was your, you know, I guess, baseline. I was making $4.25 an hour before that meeting. I almost fainted on his floor because it was that significant a difference at that time. And I was like, what? I'm getting what? Like, I couldn't believe it. It was amazing. So, yeah.
Tom hired me. Also, gave
him
my first paycheck. So
nice.
Just to give some context to people, Tom is he was the program director.
Yeah, he was the program director of Z100 New York in '96.
Which is
it was his idea to put Elvis on the morning show.
Yeah,
that is correct.
Which the program director is kind of like the manager of the radio station.
Yes. Right.
Yes,
and they're also the person that calls you in for an air check session.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does anybody want to explain what an air check session is?
Oh, gosh.
Basically where you listen back to what you did previously and then somebody critiques every single
part
of it. And they're hilarious.
Well,
hilarious.
Down to the
Tom
second.
Tom wanted to air check Elvis, but Elvis would never allow that.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
The air check session was always extremely embarrassing. I can tell Froggy's got a good story about this because your boss is basically playing back your last show and pausing. And after every time you would say like, hey, yeah, the weather today in Erie, Pennsylvania, like, you were a little too fast with that.
Yeah.
And you didn't enunciate enough.
Yeah.
And then you ended up, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's just so embarrassing. Embarrassing.
For everyone else, imagine being recorded for an entire day of your job and then playing back that entire day, minute by minute, in front of your boss, mm-hmm. with your boss, with critiques in between.
Well, the worst
part is
that's exactly
like,
what an air check session is.
Every boss has a different thing that they like or don't like. So you're going to get a different critique from every single program director that you have. Like, I have a program director who used to be triggered by people who would laugh when they had a shift by themselves. He'd be like, "You're laughing. Who are you laughing with? There's no one in the room. Stop laughing." That used to correct me.
Oh, my God.
The worst is, like, so if you're talking up a song, normal song is anywhere from, you know, 5 to 12 seconds. After they stop it in 2 seconds into the audio, you're like, 2 seconds in already? Well, what's wrong? Yeah. I'm 2 seconds in.
Mm-hmm. So Tom,
I feel bad for Tom because I feel like anytime he has seen my face in the last decade, it's been trouble. Poor Tom. Every time he sees me, he's like, "What did you do now? Really?"
My first two interactions with Tom were, one, we were in a fantasy football league that we had around, and Tom and I made it to the Super Bowl, and I was playing him. I did not want to win because I'm like, I can't beat Tom. Please, God, don't let me win. And I did, and I lost. I was very happy. But we were, I always pride myself on being responsible. And so we were going on a Elvis Duran party plane to the Bahamas. And we were going by boat. Well, I forgot my passport and my laptop in my car back in the States.
Oh.
And so we were 3/4 of the way to the Bahamas, and I had to let everybody on board know that I did not have my passport and my laptop.
Oh my
and that was like
gosh.
My first full interaction with Tom. He must have thought, "What is this dumbass doing here?"
Was that the same used to it.
Frog, same trip that you and Lisa did it in the bushes?
Yeah, that was the same trip. It was later after that. Lisa got my passport, met us there, everything was good, and then we banged it out in the bushes. Yes, same trip.
You know, Tom Pullman owes me a new car.
Oh, why?
How so?
Well, Skeery, Elvis, Tom, and I went on a business trip 2005 because we wanted to syndicate our show to Y100 in Miami.
Right.
We had to meet with some corporate bigwigs. And so while we were on the trip, Tom bought me an official cowboy hat because he was excited that we were on the trip.
I remember that. We were in Nashville.
We were in Nashville. And I said, "Tom, this is great." And then they had just brought back the Dodge Charger in 2000 for the 2006 model. And one went by, and I said, "That's my dream car, Tom." And he said, "Brody, if we get on Y100 Miami, I will buy you that car."
Did he buy it for you?
Well, Danielle, I started off by saying he owes me a car.
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, that was May of 2006 when we started on Y100 in Miami. Yeah,
right.
So
yeah,
I would say he's a little behind on his purchase.
Yeah.
You want me to go get him and you can ask him, Brody?
Yeah, you can do that.
No, that's okay. We're good.
Put him
good.
On the spot if you want.
It's only 16 years. He's got time.
Tom was the one who actually had faith in me and put me on the radio just from my college radio air check. I was running the equipment, running the board in my first year here and answering the phones when people used to call radio stations. And he was like, "You know what? Pretty good tape." He goes, "Friday night, 2 a.m., you're on the air."
Prime time, right?
No, it's unheard of to, Z100 is the number one market as far as, you know, listenership goes. You don't just start your radio career on air in New York City. Unless, I guess
do you still have that tape?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
I do.
Do we have it in the system?
I've tried to friggin' forget about it. It's not in the system, but I have it at home.
Can you please bring it in?
I listened to it live. I remember we were coming home from a club, and we were in the Hummer at 2:30 in the morning or something like that.
You were getting
here comes Skeery. I remember him saying, the janitor, I locked him in the closet or something like that. And here, that was like the first thing he said.
The song was Tracy Chapman, Give Me One Reason. And I'm like, I guess... you know, I know your overnight janitor or something like that. I guess they shouldn't let
me
in.
This is terrible.
Here. No, it was awful. Gandhi, that's why it should not come to light.
Can you pull it up?
No, I like everybody's puke voices. Hey, everybody, it's Z100.
Do you have the song in the
system? If we started a GoFundMe, right? It goes to your favorite charity. Would you let us play that audio?
I would.
Of course you
would. For charity?
Okay.
I'm
in for $50.
It's just an uncomfortable 4 hours of overnight radio in 1996, June of 96, when I got my radio air debut on Z100.
Go find that cassette.
Go find it.
Would you guys do it? Would you guys put money against
it? I would definitely donate money.
All right.
Hey, Skeery, do you remember the audio from the first time I ever did a shift on Z100?
You might want to, this is actually kind of funny.
So I did like a midnight to 5, I think, or something like that, a late night shift. And we were in our Jersey City studios, so you had to record on Pro Tools in the studio across the hall. So no one's in the building at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? So I hit play and record on Pro Tools before my shift started. And I did, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 minutes. Skiri shows up with a bunch of friends drunk at the radio station at 12:45 in at night. And he goes into the other studio to show him how everything works and turns off my recording. And so the one shift I did on the radio station, I think I have like 3 minutes of it somewhere on a cassette.
Oh. I was like,
turned it off.
I'm like, why are all these lights and buttons on? This shouldn't be this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Turned
gosh.
Everything off. So, I have no proof.
Was that a blessing in disguise? I mean, how did your shift go?
Well, two things. Number one, you don't have the audio to play it, which is fantastic. The audio was okay. The sad part was the first two or three breaks, my levels were terrible. You could barely hear me over the music. And then when I got good is when he doesn't have it on tape.
Sorry. I wish I had my first from college, my college, because I did a heavy metal show. My first show was a heavy metal.
Yes!
So I had no idea what the hell was going on. And one of my first breaks, I go, I don't know what the heck we just played, but that was awful. On the air. And the program director had to say to me, Danielle, listen, we can't say that. We can't go on the air. You're supposed to like what you're playing. I'm like, okay. Okay. But I'm being honest. But right, exactly. Right. Just being honest. It was awful.
Well, I'm sure we all have bad tapes hidden.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think I think you have stuff. Don't you have stuff? I used to have a terrible, terrible accent when I first started on the radio. So I would talk like this and say coffee and orange juice and I paid money to get rid of it because, you know, radio was...
Wait. You paid money to get rid of your accent?
Yeah, I took elocution lessons when I was...
You can tell that Scotty's taken on the way he speaks.
Shit. Oh, my
really?
God. He was so Long Island. Oh, he was like our friend Danielle DeLillo. He talked
but
like
you know,
that.
Are you know serious? What's so funny?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. In college, they try to do that as well. They made me put a pencil in my mouth to try to get rid of my accent.
Is that what the program director told you?
But what got me hired here was my accent. So I'm surprised that, Scotty, you did that.
Well, because I was moving to Iowa at the time, and they're like, nobody will hire you there when you talk
Yo,
like this.
What's up, Des Moines?
Yeah. I love that you took elocution lessons.
That's crazy.
Des Moines, good morning.
And Iowa now loves our show. Right.
The more you know. Yeah. That's crazy.
I was told, Danielle, they put a pencil in my mouth as well, and you had to overextend.
Wow.
Here, I'll show you how we did it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't need to see you put that.
Like, this shit sucks.
No, these were
you don't know where that thing's been.
Right, Danielle?
Oh, no, don't. Ugh.
Tell me how to speak with and enunciate my voice.
It sounds like when there's food in the studio.
Was awful.
So you can understand me.
You sound like someone with veneers.
And then when you take the pen out of your mouth, you actually over-enunciate because your brain remembers it.
I didn't. Fucking went back to talking like this. Wait,
put that back in pen.
No,
that's all Brody's the time desk. We have for today. Thanks, everybody.
Make him throw that marker away.
Just put my name on it.
I'm going to go get Lisa to put my pencil in her mouth. I'll be back.
That's really all the time we have for today. Bye, bye everybody.
Bye.
The 15-Minute Morning Show.